Hari 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 Krishna to all the assembled devotees in Radhakalachandji Dham. To all those that are seen and unseen, to all the spiritual entities that always gather when the holy name is being spoken. We are continuing to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapters 17 and Text 24 is where we stopped off. But before we read, we always get a little momentum. From the Lord and his love for his most special devotee. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. 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 Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Jari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararanjanan. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararanjanan. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. 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 Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dari. 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 Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararanjanan. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararanjanan. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararanjanan. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararanjanan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Radha Kalachanji, Radha Kalachanji Radhe. Jaya Radha Kalachanji, Radha Kalachanji Radhe. Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jagannath, Jagannath. Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jagannath. Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Baladev, 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 Jaya Jaya Baladev, Jaya Jaya Subhadra, 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 Jaya Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Jaya Gornitai, 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 Jaya Jaya Gornitai, Jaya Jaya Gornitai, 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 Jaya Jaya Gornitai, Nitai Goro Haribol, 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 Nitai Goro Haribol, Nitai Goro Haribol, Haribol, Hari Bol Nitai Goro Hari Bol.
Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, after leaving off chapter 17, text 23, we're starting with text 24. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'm going to read from the text of Srimad Bhagavatam. But because we're always changing, I may do it a little differently, but we're keeping the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're not straying away from it. I'd like to read a little story relating to the Srimad Bhagavatam after we read the text. So, bear with me. Sanyan bogana hameshu japachare chavag yata na chachindiya nakaromani kaksha kakshopashta gatani api shnana bogana hameshu japachare chavag yata na chachindiyan nakaromani Kaksho pashta gatani api shnan bojana hom homeshu japo charecha vaj yata na chindaya nakaromani kaksho pashta gatani api. Na chindaya nakaromani. Kaksha posta gatani api. So word for word, Sananya, while bathing, Bhojana, while eating, Homeshu, and while attending sacrificial performances, Japa, while chanting mantras to oneself, Uchari, while passing stool or urine, Cha, also, Vakyata, remaining silent, Na, not, Chindyat, should not, should cut, Nakaha, the nails, Romani, or hairs, Kaksha, in the armpits, Upasta, pubic, gatani, including api, even. The translation here is a brahmachari should always remain silent while bathing, eating, attending sacrificial performances, chanting japa, or passing stool and urine. He should not cut his nails and hair, including the armpit and pubic hair. Purport, Narada Muni gives a similar technical description of Vedic brahmachari life in Canto 7, Chapter 12 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Text 25, and because we don't have it on the board, we'll just read it and then we'll go word for word. Reto navakiresh jatu brahma vatra dara swayam avakirni vaga yapsu yatasu stripadam japat Reto navakiraj jatu brahma vrata dara swayam avakirni vaga yapsu yatasa stripadam japat Reto navakiraj jatu Brahmavrata dara swayam avakirni vagam yapshu yatasu stripadam japat retaha seaman na nat avakirat should spill out jatu ever brahmavrata dara one who is maintaining the vow of celibacy or brahmacharya Swayam, by itself, avakirni, having flowed out, avagya, bathing, apsu, in water, yata asaha, controlling the breathing by pradyamna, tripadam, the Gayatri mantra, japat, he should chant. And the translation on text 25, is that one observing the vow of celibate brahmachari life should never pass semen. If the semen by chance spills out by itself, the brahmachari should immediately take bath in water, control his breathing by pradyamna, and chant the Gayatri mantra. Going on to text 26, because there is no purport. So we'll go until we have a purport. Agni akacharya govipra guru vrida suran suchi samahita upasita sandeya dviyata vag japan Agni akacharya govipra guru vrida suran suchi samahita upasita sandeya dviyata vag japan Agni akacharya Charya govipra gurivrida suransuchi samaita upasita sandedviyata vagijapan Agni, the fire god. Arka, the sun. Acharya, the acharya. Go, the cows. Vipra, the brahmanas. Guru, the spiritual master. Vrida, elder, respectable persons. Suran, the demigods. Suchi, purified. Samahita, with fixed consciousness. Upasita, he should worship. Sunday, in the junctions of time. Dway, two, yatavak, observing silence, japan, silently chanting or murmuring the proper mantras. Purified and fixed in consciousness, the brahmachari should worship the fire god, sun, acharya, cows, brahmanas, guru, elderly respectable persons, and demigods. He should perform such worship at sunrise and sunset without speaking, but by silently chanting or murmuring the appropriate mantras. And there's no purport here, so we're going to go on to the last one, which there is, and that's text 27, which I always enjoy repeating the purpose of and understanding, and which is the one that I wanted to follow up with a little story. Text 27. Acharya mam vijaniyan navamanyate kayachit namatya budhya yushyata savadeva mayo guru acharya mam vijaniyan navamanyate kayachit namatya budhya sutyata savadeva mayo guru acharya mam vijaniyan navamanyate kayachit Namatya buddhya sutyata savadeva mayo guru. Acharyam, the spiritual master. Mam, myself. Vijnaniyat, one should know. Na, avamanyate, one should never disrespect. Karchit, at any time. Na, never. Martya Budhya, with the idea of his being an ordinary man. Asuyata, one should be envious, Savadeva, of all demigods, Mayaha, representative, Guru, the spiritual master. Translation to this text is, one should know the Acharya as myself. And of course, this is Krishna speaking. And never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking him an ordinary man. For he is the representative of all the demigods. Purport? This verse appears in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila 1:46. His Divine Grace, Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Astoratara Satta Shata Sri Sri Mad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, has commented on this verse as follows. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 17th chapter, 27th text, which is what we're reading. Spoken by Lord Sri Krishna when he was questioned by Uddhava regarding the four social and spiritual orders of society. He was specifically instructing how a brahmachari should behave under the care of a spiritual master. A spiritual master is not an enjoyer of facilities offered by his disciples. He is like a parent. Without the attentive service of his parents, a child cannot grow to manhood. Similarly, without the care of the spiritual master, one cannot rise to the plane of transcendental service. The spiritual master is also called acharya, or a transcendental professor of spiritual science, Manusamhita 2.140 explains the duties of an acharya, describing that a bona fide spiritual master accepts charge of disciples, teaches them the Vedic knowledge with all its intricacies, and gives them their second birth. The ceremony performed to initiate a disciple into the study of spiritual science is called Upaniti, or the function that brings one nearer to the spiritual master. One who cannot be brought nearer to a spiritual master cannot have a sacred thread, and thus he is indicated to be a sudra. The sacred thread worn on the body of a brahmana, kshatriya, or vaishya, is a symbol of initiation by the spiritual master. It is worth nothing if worn merely to boast of high parentage. The duty of the spiritual master is to initiate a disciple with the sacred thread ceremony, and after the samskara, or purificatory process, the spiritual master actually begins to teach the disciple about the Vedas. A person born a sudra is not barred from such spiritual initiation, provided he is approved by the spiritual master, who is duly authorized to award a disciple the right to be a brahmana if he finds him perfectly qualified. In the Vayupuranya, an acharya is defined as one who knows the import of all Vedic literature, explains the purpose of the Vedas, abides by their rules and regulations, and teaches his disciples to act in the same way. Only out of his immense compassion does the personality of Godhead reveal himself as the spiritual master. Therefore, in the dealings of an acharya, there are no activities but those of transcendental loving service to the Lord. He is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. It is worthwhile to take shelter of such a steady devotee, who is called Asraya Vigraha, or the manifestation or form of the Lord, of whom one must take shelter. If one poses himself as an acharya, but does not have an attitude of servitorship to the Lord, he must be considered an offender. And this offensive attitude disqualifies him from being an acharya. The bona fide spiritual master always engages in unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By this test, he is known to be a direct manifestation of the Lord and a genuine representative of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Such a spiritual master is known as Acharyadev. Influenced by an envious temperament and dissatisfied because of an attitude of sense gratification, mundaners criticize a real acharya. In fact, however, a bona fide acharya is none different from the personality of Godhead, and therefore, to envy such an acharya is to envy the personality of Godhead himself. This will produce an effect subversive to transcendental realization. As mentioned previously, a disciple should always respect the spiritual master as a manifestation of Sri Krishna, but at the same time, one should always remember that a spiritual master is never authorized to imitate the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. False spiritual masters pose themselves as identical with Sri Krishna in every respect to exploit the sentiments of their disciples. But such impersonalists can only mislead their disciples, for their ultimate aim is to become one with the Lord. This is against the principles of the devotional cult. The real Vedic philosophy is Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, which establishes everything to be simultaneously one with and different from the personality of Godhead. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami confirms that this is the real position of a bona fide spiritual master, and says that one should always think of the spiritual master in terms of his intimate relationship with Mukunda, and that's Sri Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his Bhakti Sandarbha 213, has clearly defined that a pure devotee's observation of the spiritual master and Lord Shiva as one with the personality of Godhead exists in terms of their being very dear to the Lord, not identical with him in all respects. Following in the footsteps of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and Srila Jiva Goswami, later acharyas like Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur have confirmed the same truths. In his prayers to the spiritual master, Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur confirms that all the revealed scriptures accept the spiritual master to be identical with the personality of Godhead, because he is a very dear and confidential servant of the Lord. Gaudiya Vaishnavas therefore worship Srila Gurudev, the spiritual master, in the light of his being the servitor of the personality of Godhead. In all the ancient literatures of devotional service, and in the more recent songs of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and other unalloyed Vaishnavas, the spiritual master is always considered to be either one of the confidential associates of Srimati Radharani or a manifested representation of Srila Nityananda Prabhu. Om Gnana Tamarandasya Gnanjanan Chalakaya Chakshunilitam Yena Tashmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnipadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Tirtha Swami Iti Namane Namo Vishnipadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane. I always find it refreshing to remember why I took initiation or diksha. I don't feel that one can overdo the memory or the reasons behind why one should take guru as teacher. But then there's so many reasons. But before we get into that part, which is one of my favorites, I mean, the scriptures are nectar. And I believe when I first heard it, it was like, that doesn't click, nectar. But the more you hold on to the faith that you're going to understand what you're reading and that you experience the truths in the scriptures, one day it will appear to you, it will come to you, that it is absolute nectar. Reading was my best friend when I was growing up. That was my friend, I mean. We didn't have any differences of opinion. I always had the last word. So I always enjoyed. But out of all the reading that I've ever done in my short life on this earth compared to the lives of previous youths, I've never been able to call anything nectar other than the Vedic scriptures. And a sincere prayer of mine is that those that come into contact with Krishna consciousness, devotees, bona fide spiritual masters, will be able one day to at least get a glimpse of understanding of the pure nectar of the words, of the scriptures. How sweet it can be to just sit and read and go, ah, like you've had a really nice, refreshing drink of knowledge. Text 24, of course, reinforcing the behavior of a brahmachari when he is under the tutelage or the guidance of a spiritual master. And that's generally living in close association with the spiritual master. The regulations here, to my knowledge, which in this body I can't say too much, but it's pretty self-explanatory. It doesn't bear a lot of going over. There are just certain rules and regulations and behavior that a brahmachari, and celibate and brahmachari go together. So there is a way to maintain that particular lifestyle, to develop a higher learning or higher understanding. And texts 24 and 25 are very explicit in the process. Text 26. And let me read that one. Because I feel it should be extended. And it probably is in a sincere pure devotee. They probably do extend it beyond the brahmachari's life. It could be a kshatriya, vaisya, sutra. But purified and fixed in consciousness, it says the brahmachari should worship. Oh yeah, there is a portion of this that is specific only for this area. The brahmachari should worship the fire god, sun, acharya, cows, brahmanas, gurus. And here's the part. Elderly, respectable persons. Give respect to the elderly. That bears repeating because I watch when I come into the association of devotees in the temple, and I watch how the kids treat their parents. So that's something that they should be reminded of. But then those are lessons that are passed on from the parent to the child. I don't know why I brought it up, but I thought it was important to bring up. But he should perform such worship at sunrise and sunset without speaking, but by silently chanting or murmuring the appropriate mantras. There are some temples where you can actually chant, and in this temple it is possible to chant and not be disturbed by anyone. You have some spirit souls here that are quite popular, so it's probably hard for them to sit in one spot and chant without someone coming up and asking them about some spiritual knowledge. But this is the standard. This is definitely the standard. Now, as far as worshiping and respecting the spiritual master. In translation of text 27, it says, one should know the Acharya as myself and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking him an ordinary man, for he is the representative of all the demigods. Now, I'm going to try to stay focused in the time because I can go on and on with this one to the point where someone may say, is she doing this again? Yes, she is, because it's important. It's very important. So I'll see if I can add something spicy to it, like a story. But the point I wanted to make before I did that is that taking a spiritual master is so totally important that when Lord Chaitanya came to the material world, of course, he's still spiritual and transcendental, but when he came as a devotee, and he took a spiritual master. I believe it was Ishwara Puri, and he showed and gave a most excellent, perfect example of how a devotee should behave and interact with the spiritual master and how important it is. And if you are reading the scriptures and getting into it, you'll find that all the great acharyas took a spiritual master. It's like you're trying to learn from day one an advanced education based on grabbing a book, picking up a book and reading with no other knowledge. Yes, we all have the potential to learn and understand things, but when a child comes into a world, generally still children coming into the world with a parent that's in the house, takes lessons from that parent. And that parent trains that child how to grow, the things that are necessary in order to go through life and be successful. God consciousness or Krishna consciousness is an elevated step up to who we really are. So it's mind-boggling when I come across someone that says, I don't need a spiritual master. It's like, gosh, you're doomed. But then you don't want to be negative. It's like you really don't know that you don't know. There are so many benefits to the guidance of a spiritual master. And I came across the story of Indra. And Indra's so human, so typical. How many times have we come across someone like Indra? But even as elevated as Indra was, even sometimes elevated personalities can fall into distress. And Urmila Devadasi, Her Grace Urmila, wrote in the Back to Godhead magazine, and I've not done this in a while, I like reading stories, so bear with me. But she wrote an article on giving respect to the holy name, and it was geared toward the spiritual master, accepting the spiritual master. This was in the Back to Godhead edition, September, October 2004, the year of the installation of the Panchatattva. And she's talking about Indra. So let me see if I can skim through this and get the essence of how important this is. And then we'll try to wrap it up. Don't know if we'll do it in 15 minutes, but we'll give it a try. And she's covering a series of articles on offenses to be avoided when progressing spiritual life by chanting the holy name, which of course is the same as the Lord. Good Lord, the deities are beautiful. The Lord is beautiful today. Absolutely beautiful. Jai Srila Prabhupada. The celestial city Indrapuri is the residence of Indra, one of the devas who managed the universal affairs in the service of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. In Indrapuri, the scent of smoke from Aguru incense mixes with the fragrance of flowers that decorate the parks and bodies of the residents. Strings of natural pearls adorn the buildings and benches, carved from diamond, and coral line the spotless roadways. In Indrapuri is off limits to the sinful, cunning, lusty, greedy, envious, violent, or falsely proud. Indra's wife Sachi sits beside him on his throne. As the dancers and singers of this material heaven entertain them with music glorifying Krishna. A white umbrella that glows like the moon is Indra's royal canopy. Although Indra is a powerful deva, his enemies, asuras, demons, were once able to attack his heavenly kingdom and injure him and his associates. Because of his disrespecting his spiritual master, Indra had become vulnerable. Once while enjoying his wealth and power on his jeweled throne, Indra saw Brihaspati, his guru, enter the palace hall. According to etiquette, Indra should have stood to greet him with a seat, sweet words, and some refreshment. But because Indra was used to seeing Brihaspati every day, he ignored him. Offended, Brihaspati left. Indra quickly understood his omission and took to the standard method of rectification. He went to find his guru to fall in repentance at his feet. But Brihaspati, wanting to teach Indra a lesson, became invisible. Because Indra lost the blessings of Brihaspati, demonic forces were able to attack Indrapuri, wounding Indra and others. One of the points that I wanted to take here that I recall myself being reminded of is sometimes when you're fortunate enough to have the association of your spiritual master, we can become too familiar and comfortable with it instead of remembering that the spiritual master is as good as the Lord and should be treated as good as the Lord. We look at them sometimes as ordinary human beings, and that is unacceptable. When you're doing that, you fall into creating an offense. So that was a reminder, because it took me the longest to understand my spiritual master, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, and he tolerated me just like a very strong father. He knew that I was not seeing him as a spiritual master. And it was like the presence of a parent. It's really difficult to explain, but I knew what was going on. But the process of treatment was perfect, because had I not evolved into realizing the importance of a spiritual master. Not that he walked around, I'm important, da 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 da. He didn't do that. Spiritual masters have a presence. The ones that I've come across have a certain presence, but I had never come across a guru before. So it took me a while to understand this is no ordinary person. And over time, it manifested and I understood. And to this day, I understand even better. But getting back to the section, a need for a spiritual master, like Indra, every human being needs the grace of a spiritual master. We may not face enemies like Indra's, but we still need protection as we pursue the business of human life, spiritual advancement. Demons such as our desires for material things constantly seek our destruction. And I'm winding up here. And it speaks to initiation and spiritual training. Even to know about the Lord's name requires some touch with a guru. So unquestionably, someone who decides to dedicate his or her life to Krishna will need systematic training by a guru. And I like this example of teachers. When we become officially initiated into a lineage of gurus and disciples, we receive a firm commitment to our deliverance from the guru who initiates us, the many previous teachers, and the Lord himself. This is the good one. In ordinary life, when the admissions officer of a school accepts a student, all the teachers and staff, up to the chief administrator, give their implied assurance that they will do their utmost to ensure the student's education and graduation. Similarly, a faithful disciple in a transcendent school is sure to achieve spiritual success. The previous acharyas that have come before us and before our gurus are there to help us, and we should become very familiar with our discipleship. The disciples that have come before Srila Prabhupada, his disciple. Krishna will not manifest through the chanting if the chanter disrespects the guru, either the guru from whom one learned the chanting or the guru from whom one received formal initiation. Even in an ordinary school, students who lack courtesy toward their teachers may be neglected or even dismissed. I'm winding this up. One should worship the guru first and then take permission to worship Krishna. When you're coming into the temple room, standard practice, and I've tried to follow it to the letter, is I give obeisances to the spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. Not that I ignore Radha Kala Chanji. And then I give my obeisances to the altar, to Radha Kala Chanji. Now, there may be about 10 or 15 different decisions on that one, but that was the one that I was taught. Therefore, along with the pitcher or deity form of Krishna, a disciple keeps the pitcher of his guru, his or her guru. The guru often gives general and individual instructions. Some may apply to all times, places, and circumstances. They may even apply to a specific individual and not necessarily to everyone. It may be a specific circumstance with a specific disciple. So that's something to keep in mind too. Such as the instruction to always remember Krishna and never forget him. Now, that's a general statement. That's a blanket statement. Some are to be applied in various ways and degrees depending on the situation, and not everything the guru says is in order. He may also give guidelines. The disciples, and I'm trying to pick up the key points, the disciple must avoid both neglect of the rules and blind fanatical following. That was another point my guru would not accept. You know, don't just follow anything blindly. Be open, be okay to ask questions. If you can't, there's something wrong. Not that when you ask a question, you're being offensive. You're being curious. It matters how you do it. But we should not follow anything blindly. The key is to distinguish between eternal principles and external details. Krishna therefore says that the disciple should inquire from the guru and follow the practical example of saints or sadhus. Now, of course, it goes on, and I just wanted to give the essence, getting the opinion of a disciple who has taken diksha and their reflection on the relationship of the guru and the disciple and its relationship. We are given instructions on, actually, we're given instructions on how to live and how to leave the body. If you're really trying to become elevated in Krishna consciousness, it is very important to read the scriptures, to read the literature of the acharyas that have come before us, to read the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Specifically, remember the point here that when you're taking a spiritual mass, to be cautious that one is not trying to imitate the Lord. The point that's made here, maybe it doesn't jump out at you, is that the spiritual master should be treated as good as the Lord in, and is as good a representative as the Lord. But spiritual master is not the Lord, so don't become confused. It's the Achitya Beta Beta Tattva. Similarly like, but different also at the same time. So Srila Prabhupada, from the readings of his books, was very clear on that, and he made it quite clear that his disciples did not treat him like the Lord, but he did require that you listen and took instructions from him, because he was a very elevated soul from the spiritual world. And we were extremely fortunate to have that type of guruship to lead the gurus that have followed him. Otherwise, in terms of today's language, we would be very messed up as far as the understanding of what God consciousness is and what Krishna consciousness is. So count yourselves fortunate that we were able, of course, to celebrate, and we've had a fantastic weekend. I mean, Janmashtami, absolutely transcendental. And then Srila Prabhupada's appearance day. We're very fortunate to have knowledge of Srila Prabhupada, to be able to enjoy the benefits of his knowledge. I have very nice things to say about the internet, but I think we should always keep our books, because as time goes by, who knows how the world is going to change. We should still be able to pick up a book and read about our spiritual guide, Lord Krishna, and the internet may not always be around. So it's very important to read the scriptures. It's very important to chant. It's very important to have proper association, to come to the temple and be fortunate enough to come across a bona fide spiritual master. And how about this, a bona fide devotee, a pure devotee, or someone who is aspiring to be a devotee, to hopefully guide you in the direction so that you will be able to understand your true relationship with the Lord and who you really are. And if you're fortunate enough, really fortunate enough, you may even have an opportunity to catch a glimpse of the Lord before you leave the spirit, the material world. How about that? So I'll end at this point, and I'll open up for a question. I always like it when I've got an audience of none or one. Niratam Das, I can definitely count on you. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you for giving class. It was very nice.
Thank you.
My question has to do with those of us whose spiritual master has departed, or those of us who are, you know, not in that direct, you know, tutelage, the direct association and training of a spiritual master. You know, some disciples, they'll get initiated and they may not even see their guru ever again after that. Or, you know, so for someone, for example, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada's passed away, my case, your case, our spiritual master is no longer present, or even those whose spiritual master are present but they don't have regular association, and they may hear a class once a year or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the type of training that's, you know, that you're alluding to, and that's kind of indicative of these verses, means very specific and personal training. Hare Krishna, good morning. Hare Krishna, good morning. Very specific and personal training, even from the early age, as it's mentioned here, the brahmacharis, you know, should come under the care of a spiritual master at the earliest possible age, even at age of 5. I know Prabhupada was like that with the Gurukul, and I know Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, his personal pujari of his deities, His Holiness Puri Maharaj, his parents gave him in charity to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati when he was 7 years old. Hmm. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati trained him and gave him sannyas when he was 12. And then he remained like an unadulterated, you know, nishtika brahmachari and sannyasi up until he passed away at the age of 132. And I had a chance to speak with him. My Guru Maharaj used to... He's very close with Janavivas and Pankajanari Prabhu before he passed away in Mayapur, mm-hmm. because he was considered to be the top authority on deity worship, mm-hmm. amongst Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's disciples. So he was highly trained, and it was astonishing to speak to him, both in terms of his relationship with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, also in terms of his technical training, mm-hmm. that he received. So my question has to do with what, you know, given in a situation like we have, where we may be separated from the guru, not have the opportunity of having that type of personal association, or even practicing brahmachari life at all, what should we do?
Speaking in terms of us.
Yeah.
Speaking in terms of us. Well, you know, the... Personally, and then I'll get to the us. But personally, the last time His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami was in Mayapur was the year before he departed this earth. And he was, we were at the, a group of us, disciples, were at the initiation of the ceremony, the Panchatattva. And obviously, he knew more than he was telling us, but you could tell, because I recall him not being able to participate so much. And I also remember him having a conversation. I don't know how much this is going to be an issue with people, but I'm a truthful person, and I'll take the flak for it. But I remember my guru... talking to some of his godbrothers and just asking them to watch over his disciples. And that meant whatever our needs were, that they were there to assist us. So I would have to say, in my particular personal situation, before Guru left, he made sure that we had someone to go to. Of course, we always have Krishna, but we had someone to go to in the material body that could assist us. And I must say those God brothers have done everything and then some. As far as looking out for Bhakti Tirtha Swami's disciples, so that way I feel very, very fortunate, very fortunate, extremely fortunate in the situation that we're both in and others where, of course, spiritual masters left the world. Krishna knows our heart and he knows exactly what we need. We here in the Dham are very fortunate because we have sannyas, we have gurus that are coming through here. We have the association and we have the opportunity to have darshan and to question and to confide in gurus. And sometimes even if you don't know how to ask for the instructions, your guru is always with you. His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami is always with his disciples. And it's my understanding that the spiritual master never leaves his disciples until every single one of them is returned to the spiritual world. But you and I both, and anyone else, those that are disciples of Srila Prabhupada, will always have the instructions of our spiritual master, if you want to say transcendentally. We always have that. And you can always pray to Krishna to get the mercy of Guru. You will sometimes get instructions from Siksha Gurus, those that give instructions that you've not necessarily taken, that you've not taken initiation from. But these are things that are available to you depending on your desire and your mindset. One thing to remember that I've learned is that we are never, ever alone. Ever. Not that I live in La La Land, but the point is, I know we are never, ever alone because most of us have had the experience where when we're going through really intense situations, we have the association of Guru. We definitely have the association of Guru, or someone comes along and does or answers the exact thing you need to have answered. Krishna's in the heart. Paramatma always knows our desires. So we are fortunate enough. It's just, it really depends on your personal desire and how much you need the association, because Krishna will always take care of his devotees. And the spiritual master will always be with us. True, no one will take the place of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami for you, and no one will take the place of Bhakti Tirtha Swami. I don't need them to, but I do need the association of his god brothers and the association of devotees. We cannot live alone in this world. I guess that's what that means by a man does not live by bread alone. We can't wander around this world alone, so we must have the association of our God family, of our spiritual master's family, God family. So we need to remember that. That is important for us to remember. I hope I answered something. I really do.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, you're pretty much summing up the idea of the Shiksha Guru relationship. You know, there's this beautiful book that was compiled of Prabhupada's teachings called The Spiritual Master and Disciple. And then also there was a more recent book written by His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj called Shiksha Guru. And in both of those books, I know the author of the first book also. I know him personally, and his name's eluding me. But it was done way, way back, like in 1980. The first book, The Spiritual Master and Disciple. It's a devotee who used to come here. He's quite scholarly. And then Shivaram Maharaj's book, more recently, Shiksha Guru. But the idea is that even as early back, if we go into the Vaishnava history is of the six Goswamis, there was like a multiplicity of senior devotees that were guiding and personally instructing, younger devotees and aspiring disciples, and younger disciples, aspiring disciples, even senior disciples. You know, you have the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You've got Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj going to the senior men asking about writing the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Or we have examples of, you know, Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivasacharya and Shyamananda Pandit. Like, for example, Narottam Das Thakur, he was initiated by Lokanath Maharaj, but Lokanath Maharaj instructed him to go to Jiva Goswami and to take instruction from Jiva Goswami and to learn the philosophy and then to work under his guidance.
Mm-hmm.
So, like in my case, even from the earliest times, like after I'd been practicing only for about 6 months to a year, already my spiritual master was guiding me that you should take instruction from this devotee, from this. He was introducing. And then when I got married, he told my wife and I to take instruction from senior, successful married couples. And he asked, at our wedding, Burijan Prabhu was there. And Burijan Prabhu and Mother Jagatrini were very close with my wife and I. So he said, look, why don't you take them? Even he told me that my marriage was a failure.
Mm.
He took sannyas after 2 years of marriage. So he said that, you know, and also I'm a sannyasi, so it's not really my place to be delving into, you know, the personal dealings of a husband and wife, though he would do that if required it to help his disciples. But he also instructed me personally, take guidance from, you know, a successful senior married couple. I mean, it's kind of like that in life in general, right? If you want to learn something about marriage, go to somebody successful in marriage. You want to learn something about business, go to a devotee who's successful in business. It's my Guru Maharaj actually told me this personally. He said that I'm trying to remember exactly what he said. To quote him, but he said that it's very rare. Now I remember. He said it's very rare that a devotee can get everything they need from their initiating spiritual master. Now, in the case of Srila Prabhupada, or maybe in the case of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and so forth, you may say, okay, they were qualified in every way. They were qualified materially and spiritually. Because I've seen examples where the guru may be completely disinterested in his disciples' material life. And, you know, and that may be an opulence of that spiritual master, but it's not helping the guru. I mean, it's not helping the disciple. So without undermining somebody's guru, you also have to see practically that, you know, you need to also be situated properly materially.
Sure you do.
You see?
Sure you do.
So, you know, these are just, you know, so what I'm saying is the importance of a multiplicity or the shikshi-guru relationship in practical day, everyday, you know, practice of Krishna consciousness to me is very necessary. And I'm, you know, always looking for that. And I'm very thankful that you are coming here and taking a position of shiksha, you know, with your experience and your dedication to your spiritual master. I mean, it's wonderful. And I think it really enriches me as a person to hear from, you know, devotees. You know, not that everyone has to be in fact, I don't think it's even, you know, advantageous that every single, you know, part of life should be guided by a sannyasi in the sense of like...
That's true. I agree with you there.
Depending on the sannyasi.
I agree with you.
Depending on the sannyasi. Like my Guru Maharaj said, look, my marriage was a failure. Better you go to somebody who's been successful in marriage.
I agree with you.
You know, that, I'm just giving that as one example. You know?
No, but
I might
so,
be vilified for this.
No,
but.
no, because I'm going to try to unvilify you. It's almost like when you marry... And yes, that partner is your partner, and they're supposed to be that partner for life, but that partner will not be able to give you everything that you need. There are other aspects of your life that maybe a friendship with someone else can enhance, you know, as long as it doesn't go outside the marriage. But it has to be understood in a mature way, as you said, that as long as we're in this material world, one person cannot give you all the things that you need, depending on what it is specifically. And with the guru-disciple relationship, I remember Bhakti Tirtha Swami would always say, you treat my God brother with as much, if not even more respect than you give to me. And he would encourage us to go and, you know, if there's something that his God brother was giving, he would encourage us to go and listen. It was not like, you'll find some people that feel they have to own every part of you. Well, it's not supposed to be like that. And yes, I agree with you that that is why we have shiksha. Otherwise, why do we have shiksha? Yes, you have guru, you have diksha from guru, but you also have the opportunity for a shiksha guru for instructions. It doesn't mean that in your lifetime all you listen to is your guru. It doesn't mean that you're being offensive to your guru by listening to his god brother, but there are some. I guess I've been fortunate enough to be surrounded by some very good sannyasis under the instructions, thank God, of Srila Prabhupada, my guru, so that I've had some pretty good communication with the other gurus. But you're right. Getting instructions from another guru, there is no offense there. Talking to another one, there's no offense.
You know, or even taking instruction from one another in a practical,
or
everyday
that too.
Example. You know, like, for example, one of your godbrothers I'm very close with, Preetu Prabhu. And
yes.
I just have so much love and respect
yes.
for him that I can call him, like,
yes.
at any given day and ask him, what do you think about this, Preetu Prabhu, and really open my heart. Because, you know, a lot of times I'm receiving instruction, but I'm not open to it.
Mm.
You know, so to me, it also requires that, you know, that relationship to be so intact that, you know, I'm actually receiving instruction,
mm-hmm.
you know, on my side. The person may be qualified, don't get me wrong, but my side also requires an opening of my heart, you know.
That is true.
That is true.
And you're talking about something very key that I'm very strong on, relationships. It does not just mean because I took diksha with Bhakti Tirtha Swami that I am only in relationship with Bhakti Tirtha Swami disciples. That is ridiculous. Absolutely, positively ridiculous. We are one big family, and I like having the association of my God family, and that's other disciples that are under the tutelage or under the guidance of other gurus or acharyas. I think it's wonderful because it is a very enriching lifestyle to be able to communicate with someone else, and you find you have so much commonality, so many things in common, and the instructions can be so sweet. And there are times when you need to talk to another disciple, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a disciple. I don't necessarily have to talk to a disciple of Bhakti Tirtha Swami. I'm here, and there are maybe one or two here now, but I feel I am a part of one big family because I believe I've been gifted to see beyond that fact that I'm not restricted. I'm not restricted. I have a family around me, and I like the fact that we are a relationship. There are relationships that are going on here, spiritual relationships, and they're very important. And I would love to see that increase even more so in a positive way. But it's very important to have relationships, otherwise who do you go to? I mean, yes, we do have the Lord, but it's important to have sometimes a face-to-face or over the phone or something conversation with someone to help you get through from day to day. Because you can't do it by yourself unless even, this is Kali Yuga, now, it is difficult. So it's important to have a broad, bona fide, advantageously pure devotional relationship with others. It's very important to our growth. Did I blow that one out of the water?
No, that was great. Thank you. You know, I don't want to go too much more, but here's one more question that I do have. And, you know, when I see things like Jamastami, I mean, you pointed it out, right? It's just so nice when able to come together and use whatever, you know, expertise we all have. I mean, everybody's got like some special abilities, special, you know, qualities, special, you know. I mean, I was like so impressed. Like when Kalindi did the, she was singing, you know, Kapil's wife, Kalindi. Mm-hmm. She's pregnant now, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
So I was watching her and I was so impressed. You know, she was here leading that art kirtan just up to like the moment of midnight.
Oh dear.
And she was just like, wow.
Amazing.
You know, I was so enlivened. Amazing. And you know, and I was thinking, man, Kalindi, you know, like here you are. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
She's so close.
But I'm just giving her as one example, you know, that I mean, it was like really enlivening.
Wow.
And I, you know, when I looked and saw, oh my God, you know, it's Kalindi and
wow.
She is pregnant as you can be. And, you know, but yet she was like really, I don't know, you know, driving the kirtan. I mean, Krishna
mercy.
Balaram, you know, Jai Radhe, you know, everything
wow.
was there, you know, and, it was just so impressive to me. And then when I came in and I saw the decorations and then, you know, and practical, in a practical way, you know, when you see devotion and you can get, you know, inspired, but also instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
exactly.
This floral arrangement for Prabhupada's Vyasa-san, I mean, it's just gorgeous.
Krishna Mangala does a fantastic job, and the way she's able to
I
get,
thought it was a Mother Chitra. There's another lady.
Chitra.
Both of them were
Chitra and Krishna Mangala, and I got to apologize to you, Krishna Mangala, because I was supposed to be there to help you, but I couldn't. Sorry. But Chitra just picked up my slack. Both of them. Imaginative, creative. We got so much creativity and so much talent in this community. Mm-hmm. So much talent. That's why it's good to have relationships, because you'll know who does what and who can do this and who can do that. That's why it's important to have a relationship.
Okay, now here's my question. There was a young lady, she came in a couple weeks ago. In fact, I owe her a message. And she was sitting here and just quietly, and she was listening to the bhajans, and then she talked with me, and she was a dedicated Christian, but she was open to learning about Krishna consciousness. Mm. And one of the devotees who was visiting here, there was a book that they both, this particular devotee, it's a Christian book, he told her and I that, actually, I think it's a movie. It's a movie. He
What's
said,
that?
Literally, I watch this every day. It's something about sisters and brothers.
I've never heard
They sent me the name of it. I mean, it's like an award-winning movie and book, but it's about Christianity mm-hmm. being practiced in a very practical way.
Okay.
And sister something, brothers.
This is a movie that's out?
Yeah. I can't remember the title. I am so sorry. You know, it just shows you how remote I am.
I don't.
But
think so,
maybe you know. But my question has to do with now. So she sent me a message asking me, "Hey, did you get to read this book or watch that film clip?" You know, and I wrote mm-hmm. her back, "Busy, busy, busy." You know, like.
Yeah.
But on one hand, I feel like, oh my God, you know, she was sharing like one of her most deepest, you know, forms of inspiration in spiritual life with me.
Mm-hmm.
And this devotee was fortifying it, saying, oh my God, I watch that like every day, or I read something from this every day,
mm-hmm.
you know, himself. And she asked about going to India with the devotee. She wants to go to India.
Mm-hmm.
So I was telling her that I thought she would work really well with my Guru Maharaj's brother, Kalachanji Prabhu. Him and his wife take a group of college students from their university, and then they teach kids at the Sandipani Muni school for a month in a junction with practicing sadhana and temple festivals and outings and everything, and it seems to work really well. The college students really enjoy it and have a deep, you know, experience in spiritual life on account of that. So he does an accredited Bhagavad Gita class, and that's the follow through that they all go to India for a month.
He goes to India every year?
Year. He does an accredited Bhagavad Gita class at the University of Davenport, Iowa.
Okay.
And it's a very interesting course. He teaches Bhagavad Gita, and he introduces three different versions of the Bhagavad Gita. He introduces an academic version, Mayavadi version, and Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. And he, you know, with the intention of them actually experiencing practically the contrast between the three.
Sure.
And he said by the end of the first 2 weeks, nobody wants to read the other books. They only want to read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Ki jai. That's how powerful the truth is, the supreme truth is. That's how powerful. It's very attractive. But then Krishna is attractive. How can you not be attracted to the scriptures?
I mean, I'm kind of beating around the bush here, but here's the question. You know, he told me at the end of his course that some of the kids even broke down and started crying that they wouldn't be able to come and talk with him and his wife and learn more.
Really?
And that's when he got inspired to do this 1 month trip to India each year, to the Sandipani schools under Rupa Raghunath Prabhu. And
that's interesting.
It's a very nice way.
Yeah,
so anyway, this girl's asking me about going to India. She's asking me about reading her Christian literature. You know, so my question is that, you know, when we come in touch with people outside of our institution, whether it's the Gaudiya Math or whether it's a Christian or a Jew, you know, how open are we to you know, a dialogue or even accepting instructions from someone that's outside of our institution? What's your reflections on that?
Accepting instructions from or opening up to, which one?
Yeah, both. Both.
Ah.
Like, see, she's obviously a very serious Christian, and she's here, you know, and she wants to learn from us, but she's also has a lot to offer, you know what I mean? She's very inspired, you know, if you talk to, I was talking to her about her personal life, she's probably more religious than I'll ever be. You know, I mean, so, you know, I feel like, wow, I could actually learn something, you know, deep from this, you know, person.
I would be listening for the commonalities between the teachings here that I am a part of and what they are trying to share, and I would probably focus on that. To that degree of sharing, you know, definitely try to find, you have to find a common thread. Otherwise, you're going nowhere with the conversation with anyone. Particularly when you're talking politics, which not doing it, and religion, very volatile topics. But we're in a position where it is our responsibility to spread and to teach and to become gurus, if you want to put it that way, in sharing. But when you come across someone that has some knowledge that, you know, you want to listen to them and they want to share, and it's how much do you take from them, I look for some common threads and I focus on that. And any time they go outside the boundaries, then it's understood. I make it understood that this is where I'm situated, and this is my belief. And somehow or another, if you're expert in communication and you're speaking to someone who I'm hoping would be reasonably intelligent, to understand that if this is what we're focusing on and I'm not going beyond what you're saying, or I'm not really focusing or sharing what you're saying, this is as much of what you're sharing with me that I want to share with you, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. So you would be open to,
exchange. We have to be open. We cannot be closed-minded. It's like a closed hand. Nothing's coming in, nothing's going out. Same with the mind. In this day and age, now, in order to spread God consciousness, we can't be closed-minded and, oh, if they're not saying Krishna, we can't talk to them. Originally, before we came to Krishna consciousness, we weren't saying Krishna. We didn't know anything about it. So we have to approach it a little bit differently, with more compassion, more understanding, and trying to find that common thread. Because in most bona fide religions, every single thing out there is not religion. In most bona fide religions, there is some commonality. Now, at some point, things begin to venture off, but we have to find a common bond. And if that's what we focus on, that's what we focus on. And sometimes, if you even get that, you've developed a relationship or some association with an individual, and through knowing you, they have the association of Krishna. Even if they don't chant, it would be nice to get them to chant. But if they don't, they've got the association of the devotee. So maybe in this lifetime, they've come a step closer to Krishna consciousness, if that's a direction that they choose to go in. But you have to understand that we're not trying to turn everyone into a devotee. It's like, nope, just whatever you're practicing, be better at it. Because eventually, you will come to Krishna. Eventually. There are so many different ways to get to this address, to the temple. There are different paths to the Lord also. We must remember that, and everybody's lips will not always start out with Krishna on the tongue. We have to have the compassion and loving understanding similar to our spiritual master, because they took us unformed shapes of clay and they tolerated and they were compassionate enough to understand where we were and where we needed to be. And because of that love and compassion and understanding, we are where we are. So we have to be the same with others that are out there that are different religions. It would be ridiculous to isolate ourselves, because we don't live in an isolated world. It would be absolutely mad to think only our friends can be Krishna conscious friends. That's ridiculous. Because that means I'm not going to buy anything at a store that's not run by a Krishna conscious person. Well, you're going to starve at some point. Because here, I mean, we grow things, but we don't grow everything. So it's kind of like that, isolating yourself. You can't do it. It doesn't make any good sense. Did I go off again? I think you've done just great.
You know, I just throw one example in, and that is His Grace Jayananda Prabhu, the disciple of Srila Prabhupada that's famous for creating the Rath Yatra carts.
Yes.
I was speaking with one of his close friends, Maheshwar Prabhu, about him, you know, who they were best friends. And but what's phenomenal is to see how Jayananda Prabhu was able to, you know, open so many people up to Krishna consciousness through that commonality, through those threads, through that friendship, you know. And even today, there was some message that was sent recently to the devotees about someone that had met Jayananda years ago. They were friends in school. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, how he influenced him. And then this man because of that friendship, he went deeply into Krishna consciousness.
Wow. You never know.
Yeah. I mean,
you never know. You can only, all you can do
later.
It's like a garden. You can plant seeds, whether it fructifies or not, really isn't 100% up to you. The important thing is that we plant good seeds. And Krishna's in control. So we can't forget that either. Otherwise, we'll be stressed out to the max. Niratam, you're always a good audience. Absolutely, positively.
Thank you, Madhuji. It's really a pleasure. I'm so happy that you're here.
Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.